friend you can depend on.
This is WILO, your home for classic hits. 96.9 FM and now at 102.7 FM.
WILO.
Now, Inside the Huddle on WILO with Jamie Blacker, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm. Now, here is Jamie.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful Saturday morning here in Clinton County. Welcome to Inside the Huddle. Glad to have everyone here with us. Our first guest this morning would be Chris Gorbett, the head coach of the Rossville Hornets. Good morning, Coach.
Morning. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, another great week in Rossville. The spring sports are surviving. We're going to have several of them on here today. Starting to build a little of a dynasty at Rossville. Two sectional wins in a row, Coach. I know you don't like to boast very well, but that's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is, and it's been an enjoyable ride ever since we took it 5 years ago. So it's nice to see where we're at today.
Hey, I know a few weeks ago, coming around the conference tourney time, the Hornets maybe were in a little bit of a slide. They're high school kids. It's hard to keep everybody dialed in at all facets of the game and every day. But I think you got them turned back around. You had to play a really good Clinton Central ball club that you lost to, I believe, there in the conference tourney. And then you turned it around here in the first part of the sectional and really got a big win against the Bulldogs.
Yes, we did. Clinton Central is a good program, and we were able to pull out something in sectional that night. The Hoosier Outland Conference tournament was back-to-back games, and obviously we didn't play very well that night. And we came back as players and coaches and had a discussion over what occurred that night. And then the coaching staff spent the next 3 days preparing them to play Clinton Central. They were able to perform what we established during our practice programs, and they were able to execute it.
We've talked about it on Inside the Huddle for several years now, Don and I have, and a lot of these programs, once you get a little taste of winning, and it's easier to get these kids possibly to bounce back, and then they understand what it takes to win. Some of the programs never get over the hump and never be able to win that big ball game, and then when things are going bad, sometimes high school kids just fold. But to get your team turned around and pull out another sectional victory for the Rossvilles, got to be feel pretty special.
It does. It feels special for all of us as players, as coaching staff, parents, the school administration. If it's not supported by all four of us, you can never be successful. And we've been lucky to have all four be in our hands to be able to make a successful program.
Hey, with softball, it's very important to have pitching. I've got a little stat sent to me. Looks like your pitcher, Layton, went over, I think, 500 strikeouts for a career during the sectional, and that's got to be a pretty impressive feat for a high school kid.
Yeah. Yeah, she was able to conquer that the other night against Frontier. We knew it was coming. We knew the numbers a couple nights before. And to conquer that, you know, as a sophomore, is tremendously a huge accomplishment for her. And she's on her way of doing something great for herself and for the school.
Rossville bumped up your schedule this year, I believe. I think you've been improving it every year, but you played a lot of big-time programs. I think you guys ended up, or you're not ended up yet, but you're 21-6 or in that range, or 22-6. And some of your losses were to some 4A, 3 and 4A programs. Can you talk about, you know, that schedule and how it prepares you to play 1A tournament run?
We did make some adjustments to our schedule. We did put Harrison on this year. We did go back up and play in the Twin Lakes tournament, which we haven't been involved in that in 5 years. To play the bigger programs, to face the pitchers that they can have and they can develop is what helps us see those different pitches, the different pitch styles, and different speeds. We were able to go up to Twin Lakes and perform up there, beat a very good program, and then turn around and lost to another very big program in the top 20 in the state. And that's what makes us better. And to be down and be able to come back is tremendous for us also.
And when you mentioned Harrison, that's just not another program. That's a 4A program. I think they were state runners-up last year, got beat there at Purdue in late June, and had a lot of returning kids back, a lot of kids that play a lot of travel softball, a lot of kids have already signed with colleges, and who just won a who just won their sectional this week and on their way to a state tournament run too. So beating quality teams like that really has to help boost the spirits of the Hornets.
Yeah, it does. To be competitive, just to go and play them and, you know, and get blown up by 10 runs or 15 runs isn't really beneficial to you sometimes. But to go and be competitive with them, which we have been for the most part, has been huge for us. And also the biggest thing is getting your kids to believe that they have the talent, they have the ability to do some very good things. And it takes a lot. Yeah, I mean, about every night we have to tell them, I don't think you're fully aware how truly talented you guys are. Getting them to believe in themselves is what we have to do, and that's what we've been trying to do. And that's why you see our schedule has changed, and that's why you see us facing the bigger schools. One, for the competitive side of it. Two, to show them that they can play, you know, at that, up against a 4A, 2A, 3A, 4A school.
And getting to believe in themselves also has to help standing there at the plate. And I think the Hornets really got your bats going in the sectional where you were in a little bit of a slide and you got a lot of girls with a lot of key hits.
Yeah. The bottom of our order is Kylan Bogan really stepped up during sectional, and hopefully she'll keep going as a senior. You know, I've said it several times, and I tell everybody this. They're not the most vocal seniors that you could have. They lead by example. They're not very forceful. They don't get mad. They don't voice their opinion. They take care of it on the field very quietly. And you can't make a quiet leader a loud leader, and you can't make a loud leader a quiet leader. And that's where we're at with them. So Kylan was able to step up during sectionals, like I said, and led by an example. And got the ball rolling in the right direction for us.
Our guest right now is Chris Gorbett. He's the Rossville softball coach who just recently won the sectional 1A at Rossville. They're going to play Tuesday night at Rossville again for the regional. They're going to be playing a pretty good Riverton Park team who came out of a sectional that hosted or had Lafayette Central Catholic in there, so they got to be a quality team. What are you expecting coming up Tuesday night, Coach, as the regional comes up?
To play our game. That's been our biggest thing now is, you know, you have to play your game, play at your level, and play the capability that you can play. And that's our biggest drive for them. And also we're going off of, you know, how many outs do we have left to conquer a goal? And that's what we go off of, and that's what drives us to hopefully be successful Tuesday night.
I know you're a goal-oriented guy, and you're not very boastful, and you're not wanting to look ahead, but I think you guys said it on earlier this year. You want to get back to that Frankfort semi-state and maybe even beyond just to get the Hornets to the next part of the program success. And I don't think you guys are going to be satisfied unless that happens.
I do agree. A couple years ago we went into sectionals and took a loss in the sectionals, and they set a goal. They came up the next year. They've conquered that goal. And then this year they set another goal. And, hopefully, and I think we're going to be on the right track and, to conquer the goal that they set forward. And that's all we can ask.
Can you mention some girls' names, Coach, who's really stepped up here late in the season and helped you get through that sectional win and get you to the regional?
You know, it takes all 15 of them. And, there's really not one individual that will always stand out, as far as that. It takes a team to make it be successful. And really all 15 of them, it doesn't matter if they're in the dugout, on the field, that's what makes our program successful is the 15 girls that are involved in it. We have four freshmen that come in this year that do have some travel experience, and they've come in, and it takes a while. You know, people talk about travel makes you better. It does, but you also get that week off. When you get to high school sports, you can play 4 out of 5 nights. You can play 6 out of 5, out of 5 days, you can play 6 games. So your body doesn't have that time to recover. And for them to come in and realize, and it takes a while for them to get used to it, and they get used to it, and they get in the groove, and understand what's going on. You know, some of these girls are, your freshman year, you're looking at 14 years old, and you're facing a girl that's 18. So it takes a little bit of mentalness, toughness in your mind to say, you know what? Yeah, she is 18, but she doesn't throw any harder than a 14-year-old, or look at her and go, man, she is 18, and she's phenomenal. And it takes a little bit of time for them to get adjusted to it at that level, and I think they've, as a freshman, have did a very wonderful job of coming in and filling those roles.
Rossville seems like a great spring sport town. The baseball team's still in the sectional. They play Monday night against Monday afternoon against Clinton Central. We're going to talk to Clinton Central baseball coach later this afternoon. But can you talk about the community of Rossville, how they get behind their athletes? And, you know, I think you had some good support at your sectional, and you're going to have a big crowd Tuesday night out there as well.
We will. And that's been great. We see it through every sports and all the sports in Rossville, the community support, the backing. Last year at Semi-State was phenomenal. Walked out before the game, and finally looked at the girls and said, hey, why don't you step out here and take a look and see how many people come here to support you tonight, because it doesn't happen every day. Take this moment in, realize that you have families and friends, and everybody you pretty much know or don't know is sitting here. And it was the same thing the other night during sectionals. You know, you look around, and it's a nice crowd. It's wonderful to see that support. And I don't think, some people don't understand how much that helps those players when they walk out and they hear the crowd, they hear the cheers, and it's, you know, three or four people deep around the fence. And that's huge. And Russell's always been able to do that. And as a coach, it's great.
In 1A sports, especially like Rossville or no other school around, no different. You can't always have coaches in the building. You're in the building now most of the time, but you got to let several assistant coaches or, you know, have other jobs, other commitments. Can you talk a little bit about them and what it means to help you out with this team and, you know, take all their little bit of free time they do have away from their careers to help out coaching these girls?
It takes all of us. We spend a lot of, and that's the thing is when you're a coach, anybody's ever coached high school sports or sports in general, how much time you commit to it. You know, you have an hour and a half, 2 hour practice, say you leave, and you're there for another hour, you know, either doing field work, another hour or two doing field work, or sitting down trying to figure out what you're going to do for the next game. So it takes a lot of commitment. And I've been very fortunate that when we started this, I came in with 5 coaches. And I still have 4 out of the 5 that are still with us in developing the program to where we're at. So you have that consistency, and that's what's made us, I think, where we're at today. And everybody has different personalities as a coach, and their personalities and stuff like that make a huge factor, because some kids will, you know, favor some others over other coaches, and that's what you want. You know, you have that mean cop, bad cop, or the good cop, bad cop sometimes. And it works for us, and, you know, to have what we have as far as the coaching staff is huge, and it takes every one of us to do it. You know, we have, you know, they have their own assigned duties, they're in charge of certain areas, they overlook, they make the adjustments, and I can't ask for a better coaching staff.
Well, you're doing something right out there. The Lafayette media has noticed. I noticed the other night, you know, the game of the week for Channel 18 was the Rossville sectional final, and one of the highlights they had on there, I don't know if they got you or not on the Gatorade bath, but looked like Coach had some pretty good moves to get away from it.
Yeah, they did. They did get me on my right side, so and I said it that night, and I'll say it again. I'll take that every night. You know, that's huge for them. They drive to get me soaking wet, and I drive to get away from them. So,
I'm guessing they'll have a little better luck if they went after assistant coach Keith Bullen.
Yeah, probably. Getting to squat now.
Hey, the other was Sam King. Sam King was there highlighting your game, and get Sam King there. That's pretty impressive. And one of the pictures he sent out before the game, the fire trucks were sitting there ready, and he said the Hornets are ready to give fire truck championship rides. And I'm guessing they'll be there Tuesday night as well.
That's our plan, I hope. And I know the kids really enjoy it, and that's probably one of the motivations to conquer something. And whatever motivates them, we'll give them a ride every day. So that's where we're at with that, and they love it. They like to ride on the truck and holding up the trophy. And the biggest thing is, you know, the support that you get from the community when you do that. the amount of people that come out, the amount of people that wave, congratulate you. And you're able to go through the park. And the last two times that we've won, we've been fortunate enough that there's been, you know, softball games going on. And you just won a softball sectional. You'll be able to go through there, show the trophy, and have support from, you know, your small, your smaller, younger kids and your developing programs, your feeder programs.
And those feeder kids, they see that, and they want to get on that fire truck someday, too. It makes them work even harder.
Correct. And that's, you know, that's huge for us to go through there, show that, let them kids see that, you know, hard work pays off. And this group right here is extremely, they extremely work hard, and it has showed over the last 2 years for them. And hopefully the younger kids look up and realize that they can do the same thing.
Well, good luck to you night, Tuesday night, Coach. Get that regional championship again for Rossville. Make it two in a row. And hope to see you next Saturday right here in Frankfort for the semi-state.
I hope, plan to be there, and it'll all work out, I hope.
Okay. That was Chris Corbett, Rossville softball coach. They just won the sectional, winning the regional Tuesday night, we hope. Thanks for being on, Coach. All right, we'll be back right after this. Our next guest will be Don Stock.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO, and thank you, Kevin, for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's SkyRizi, risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With SkyRizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and SkyRizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new plan.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Since 1911, man and machine have pushed the limits in the pursuit of speed and fame.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
The NTT IndyCar Series is back at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the 107th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500.
Marcus Ericsson flies under
the NTT IndyCar Series presents the Indy 500 on WILO, brought to you by Esserman Best One Tire and Auto Care, Wampler Services Incorporated, Lehman's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Encompass Credit Union on WILO, Sunday at 11 a.m. From your home for classic hits, 96.9, 102.7 WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle. My next guest will be the great Don Stock. Good morning, Don.
Wow, the great Don Stock. That's a pretty good build-up. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope you come back and see me someday. I want to make sure you...
Well, I'll be back. I'll be back.
Hey, you just heard that promo from the Indianapolis 500 right here on 96.9, 102.7 tomorrow at 11 a.m. You went in Indianapolis last weekend to see some qualifying. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, you know, Mayor Judy had more chores here in town to stay with than to be able to get to Indianapolis, so she asked Tina and I to take her place down at the mayor's breakfast, which is always a nice way to start the day, and then we end up in the pagoda. And, man, you know, that's a pretty nice that's a pretty nice place to be at. You can see all the way around the track and follow the cars around, and it's very comfortable seating, very, very nice. But, you know, I'm not a big race guy, but, man, those cars travel fast, and after you've been there for a while, you realize, you know, if somebody's a little bit slower than the other, that of course, they're not going as fast, and so you can just about figure out where they're going to be sitting on the pole or not, as the speed of the car coming around. It's unbelievable how quick those cars get around in a 2.5 mile track.
Well, were you getting autographs, or were you giving them out last weekend? Being at the Pagoda.
They don't know Don and Carl down there.
Oh, I thought you guys reached farther than our listening audience.
I text Carl yesterday, and I said, Carl, Don and Carl need to be doing the 500 broadcast from the snake pit. I think that would be a pretty good broadcast.
Right, right. I would like to assist on that, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, we'd have you down there, man. We can go three. You know we can go three.
Hey, the qualifying ended up with a little bit of drama. That Graham Rahal, he was just, I don't know what it was, but just could not make the race just by a little tiny bit. But he got in the next day after they had an accident. So sometimes things work out.
Yeah, you know, you're right. People push to the limit, and they get really close to that wall when they come out of that first and second turn. And, sometimes bad things happen, and it's good for other people. So,
hey, thanks for calling in and helping me fill 15 minutes here this morning. And let's, being Memorial Day weekend, and we still got some teams out there playing. Rossville's still in softball. They're going to be playing for regional here at Rossville Tuesday night, maybe get back to Frankfort. Frankfort High School is the host of the 1A semi-state. How special is that for Rossville to maybe possibly do this two times in a row?
Man, I'll tell you, there's two things. I was listening to the interview with the coach, and there's two things I get out of it. One is, do they realize that not very many teams get to stay home the first three rounds of the tournament? That's pretty amazing in itself right there. Congratulations to them for that working out. And then the second thing is why it's important for athletic programs in a small community when you get to ride a fire truck to your community and the community reacts to it. Those two things are pretty big and pretty important, and I think in high school sports.
Yeah, you have to involve the youth. You and I have talked about that repeatedly on our shows through the fall for football, basketball, boys and girls, all the sports we cover. We're doing a lot of wrestling and specialized sports now. You got to get them started early, and I can't imagine the impact of those two fire trucks going through the park at Rossville the other night, and all those little girls are going to want to play softball. They're dreaming to be on top of that fire truck as they play high school softball.
Man, you remember the days when you'd be out doing whatever, it would be basketball or baseball, and you're locking in, and I'm going to be my Mike Foster here from the corner shot, and it's just so important. I think a lot of schools have lost a little bit of that reality, and I think Frankfort has a little bit, but I know they're trying to get it back, but I shouldn't say all the programs. Some of the programs are lacking in a feeder type process, but I know they're trying to get it worked back. But it's so, so important to keep that chain moving and kids involved, especially nowadays when it's a lot easier to sit at home and play games on TV.
That's correct. I don't know if you heard the interview last week with the Clinton Prairie football coach. They were playing with some Sagamore Conference schools for youth football, and they're playing with the ones that going to stay in the Sagamore, and we'll talk about here in a second. Some are leaving. The Gophers are moving into the Lafayette area for youth football, which will be West Lafayette, Harrison, McCutcheon, and Benton Central and schools like that, and I think even Lafayette Central Catholic. So, man, they're going to be stepping it up at youth football.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, they got a great coaching staff out there now, and there's a lot of promise coming for the Gophers this year in football, that's for sure. And, I've talked about the Gophers this week to a lot of individuals, as we get ready to talk about the change of conferences. And Prairie is growing, and they're going to continue to grow. The growth for Frankfurt is heading in that direction. It'll draw homes to be built out in that direction, and the school's going to get bigger. And right now, I think the Gophers could compete in a conference that has Northmont, Southmont, Crawfordsville, Frankfurt in it. I don't think they would have a challenge with it at all. And you know, I continue to throw that Prairie could be the sixth or seventh team that gets added, and then you throw Carroll in the mix too. They could compete in that level. So I know that I was at the Hall of Fame meeting this week, and this got brought up, and a lot of the people in the know say, as you said to early before this thing even broke loose, Jamie, that there's a lot of schools that are moving right now. A lot of schools changing, a lot of schools going different routes. And I think these two schools would fit perfectly into that conference.
If you're new to the discussion, we've talked about it last week on the show. The Frankfurt Hot Dogs have left the Sagamore Conference. They, along with Western Boone, North Montgomery, South Montgomery, and Crawfordsville, have formed a new conference yet to be named. And they already added the sixth school, Don. I don't know if you saw it the other night, but North Putnam School Board voted to join that new conference as early as next year, after this next school season.
Yeah, see, that always makes me just a little bit nervous for Frankfurt, because, you know, sectionals are picked up by kind of that group of who gets to host it. And all those teams are south. Frankfurt's going to be the furthest north team. That always concerns me when you get into the ability to be able to use Everett Case in either kind of conference tournament play or postseason play. So I was hoping that wouldn't have. When I first heard of that this conference was breaking up, the rumor was that both North and South Putnam and Greencastle were joining in, and you know I didn't like it only because that made Frankfurt the furthest north school, and that was the complaint that the Sagamore Conference had of traveling all the way to Frankfurt.
Well, I saw the other night, you know, one of the things they listed in there was be able to compete. Western Boone's going to be in this, and they were just crowned the all-school girls sports school for the current Sagamore Conference. So I think these schools, Western Boone will be hard to beat in a lot of these sports.
Well, yeah, well, they're getting that overflow from Hendricks County right now, and I was amazed that they didn't stay in with Danville, Tri-West, and Lebanon. And I also heard in this conversation that we had on Wednesday where Lebanon is thinking about maybe not getting into a conference and just being an independent team and playing, you know, a big schedule.
They're going to be the Notre Dame of high school sports, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, Jamie, it's a great conversation to have, and that is, in some ways, conferences can draw back a little bit on your scheduling versus the ability to schedule whoever you want to schedule or try to schedule anybody you want to schedule. It makes it a lot easier to do that. You don't get the recognition as in being a conference player of the year and that kind of stuff, but, you know, you got to wonder about in high school, is that important? What's your take on it?
Well, I think Lebanon probably might as well just sit put for a little bit, because their school corporation is going to grow even more leaps and bounds, because they go all the way towards Whitestown and that area. And I was watching a program the other night where they're talking about building 8,000 homes just south of the Lebanon or Boone County Fairgrounds. And, man, that's a lot of kids.
Yep, that's a lot. That is a lot.
And it started all the way from the MIC last year when they voted out Center Grove and Carmel, and it's just trickled on down to the North Central Conference when they decided that they didn't want McCutcheon and Harrison in. Harrison's dominating that conference, and then Logan Sports, the smallest of that group, and they decided to get out and go to the Hoosier, and now you got Danville and Tri-West looking for somebody, and the Hoosier Conference is from 1 or 2A Central Catholic, depending on what sport they're in, all the way up to 4A schools, so... I just seem the shakeup will just continue.
Yeah, I agree with that. I almost thought that Twin Lakes would file into this conference with Frankfurt and North Montgomery and Crawfordsville. But, you know, I think a lot of conferences are trying to stay close, you know, not far travel. The Hoosier Heartland is a perfect example. They're all teams that are within maybe a half-hour drive of each school outside of maybe Eastern. You know, I think a lot of conferences are kind of moving in that direction.
We got just another minute or so here, Don. Let's forecast next school season. You give me a couple big things to look at, and I'll give you a couple. One I'm going to look at is Clinton Central football. Do they get their first win next year? I think they do. What's your take?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think keeping the coach was a good move. He's starting to build that family atmosphere out there. Clinton Central seems to be really changing, even as a school corporation, as a lot of kids are starting to get back and getting engaged. I totally agree with that.
I think the motivator of the year of all the coaches in the county has got to be Don Helmick. He's turned that girls' basketball program around, and what he's doing with girls' softball out there, man, he can get those kids to play.
Yeah, Don's a great coach, great guy. He looks after his team very, very well. We're going to be picking up the girls' program a lot more in basketball coming up this year, and we look forward to that.
In All-State, you know, talk around the Indiana, I think we got a kid that plays basketball at Clinton Prairie. He'll be in the mix for one of the best basketball players in the state of Indiana.
Oh, I totally agree with that, too. I'll swing wholeheartedly in. And I think the loss in the sectional left such a bad taste in Prairie's mouth that they're going to work very, very hard to change that around and could potentially get that. Right now, you got to look at if that sectional stays the same, you got to figure it is. It's got to be Prairie who's sitting at the top of the heap right now with the lineup they're going to be bringing back.
Which still would be one of the top sectionals in 2A in the northern part of the state of Indiana.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that.
And the individual we were talking about was Jake McGraw. Okay, you got a couple, Don, here, and then we'll move on.
So here's what I think you got to look at. I think you're going to see a big, big improvement in the boys' basketball program at Frankfort. I think Coach McCullough has set the pace. I think now the kids understand who the coach is and how the game's going to get played. And I think you're going to see a major change in Frankfort basketball this coming year.
I agree with that. I think it all starts with discipline and, you know, following the coach and everybody in the whole school corporation buying in, and I think it's taken a year to probably get that, you know, accomplished.
I'm going to move out towards Carroll a little bit. Yeah, I know the girls are going to be outstanding again this year. A great opportunity if they can all stay healthy. That seems to be the big bugaloo out there. If all the girls can stay healthy, they get an opportunity to make a nice run in the girls' basketball program. And even though the Carroll boys have lost a couple of good basketball players on their team, they're going to be right in the mix also.
But the final thing is, though, sports are still going to be great here in Clinton County and Carroll County for next season. Yep. We've got a lot of good teams to cover.
Looking forward to it. Won't be too far away, Jamie. We're in May, getting ready to be June, and we'll be starting to put our football schedule together soon. And you know, maybe surprises come from WILO, and we'll be able to cover even more games. We'll see.
Well, we hope so. We're looking at some things. So, hey, Don, thanks for being on this morning. Appreciate it. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
Will you too, Jamie. Thank you. I'll be with you soon.
All right. We'll see you in August.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.